Chapter 7. Chapter 7. Characteristics of breakthrough believers. So in chapter 7, we're going to look at the characteristics of breakthrough believers. Number one, they include, number one, moved ahead to pioneer a new move of God. Number two, moved under intense pressure to set the pace. Number three, moved without compromise to deliver the unadulterated word, the truth of God. Number four, move in progressive revelation to stay relevant. Number five, moved under subjection to spiritual authority. Number six, moved collectively and corporately towards destiny. And number seven, moved with a prevailing mentality to influence community. So now there are clear distinctive characteristics in breakthrough believers. Their unique features allow them to be singled out from the masses. And you're going to, I was thinking about that. I was thinking about how, in the school, how because you've been exposed to, the apostolic and government and that sort of thing and stuff, people are going to be able to notice you out of other people who've been. And I was thinking, I said, not to put anybody else down, but a lot of people, a lot of Bible schools that's going on, they're not teaching this. And so they're not teaching what you're learning. So it's going to put you ahead of the pack. But the thing about it is you have to come to a decision where you make the choice to walk in it. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you can be taught it, but until you make the choice that I'm going to walk in this, this is going to separate you from the rest of the pack. Praise God. Now, those who see them well, they're going to know that they are making a difference. There's just going to be a difference about you. And those who meet you will know the kingdom present of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, in Isaiah 61 and 9, then their offspring will be known among the nations and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them will recognize them because they are the offspring whom the Lord has blessed. Then in Acts 11, verse 19 through 24, it says, so then, those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except the Jews alone. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them. And a large number who believed turned to the Lord. The news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they were sent, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. Now, in applying the government principles, we were mentioning our last chapter, and it's so important that we understand a covenant and how we're supposed to really walk in covenant, because if we don't understand covenant, we're not going to be able to be effective as a church. We're not going to be able to be effective because, once you don't understand covenant, Satan will make you, become, where you have your own agenda. You're not worrying about the Lord's work and that sort of thing and stuff. And it'll cut you off. So, So we will be able to raise a new breed of whom the church can be built upon and the kingdom advance through. These breakthrough believers reveal unique characteristics that set them apart from the normal institutional church believers. So God has placed upon them unique characteristics that will set them apart to make them different in this dying world. Now, characteristic number one, move ahead to pioneer a new move of God. They have the ability to move ahead to pioneer a new move of God for kingdom advancement, breaking the barriers of culture, race, and human limitations. Every pioneer will have to face the challenges of being willing to be a seed that will fall to the ground and die alone. And then after death has taken place, it shall bear much fruit. And I believe, you know, with the heart of the apostle and what God has leading him to do, unless we understand that there has to be a death, there can no way be a resurrection. There's no way we can do what God has called us to do unless we die. Because when you start looking at Christianity and you start looking at, like the apostle was saying, where entertainment is really taking the place of the glory. And so a lot of times people, you know, they go to churches and they don't know the difference in emotions and the Holy Spirit. They don't know because, you know, they've been so used to being entertained. So when the real power show up, you know, a lot of people wouldn't even know the Holy Ghost would be set right next to them with a red hat on. Now, every pioneer will have to face the challenges. All right, I said that. As a pioneer, we have to face the lack of role models and examples in that field we are advancing. Now, as it relates to how the church has been for years and years, and I believe that because there's no progressive revelation, the church has gotten to a place where it's stagnated, you know, on things that we did years ago and that sort of thing and stuff. And so God is trying to take us further. Now, I want you to think about something. Think about, you know, as long as you've been in church, think about the role model that you had that really, you know, that was really walking this thing out the way they're supposed to. Well, the role model that we had, we could only go so far. You with me? And so I'm telling you, you know, I've served men of God, but this is just the truth. I'm not saying this for no other reason, but that it is the truth. I have never followed a man like Pastor Thompson. I have never listen to me. And I'm not. This is no exaggeration. See, okay, you only can do what you have seen from the people who you follow, right? So, but when you run into somebody who, that just like he was saying, he said he's on 24-hour calls. That's no lie. That is no lie. I mean, you understand? He is on 24-hour call. I don't care if he hold a conversation with you. I don't care what it is. He's listening for God. You understand what I'm saying? And then there could be times when he could be, you know, talking to you about something or whatever and stuff. And all of a sudden, almost it's like he just turned into another man. And then he get a word from the Lord and said, "This is what the Lord's saying." Well, I just had never been around, consistently just seeking God. You know, I done been around pastors and stuff. You know, they go to the golf course and they spend all day playing golf and that kind of thing and stuff. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, they said when I was coming up, you know, young in ministry and stuff, you know, you got to make sure, you know, you don't let ministry burn you out. So, you know, you have to have all these kind of outlets and all this kind of stuff. But the thing about it is, I don't care even if you're going on vacation, you should not get in a mold where you can't hear from God on the vacation. That may be where one of your greatest revelation comes from, on vacation. So you can never get into a place where you're not really listening for God or really seeking God. So this is, I really can't explain it. I really can't explain how, and if you follow the apostle, you will have problems keeping up. I'm talking about keeping up with him because, you know, he said, okay, you know, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this. And then all of a sudden you're doing exactly what he said do. You know, he said, we're going to read this or whatever. You're doing exactly what he said do. And then all of a sudden you look for him and he way out there. And he just left him right here. And so you have to stay on your face to keep up. I said, my God, man, you know, so it is something that's happening that God is doing right now, because I believe that the apostle is a pioneer, and because he has a pioneer spirit, God is using him to really, the church going to see something in a minute. The church is really going to see something in a minute. They're really going to see something. And they're going and they're going to turn away from entertainment. I'm telling you, they're going to turn away from it to see the real power of God. Y'all with me? Praise the Lord. So, and then we're not trying to say that the only place the Lord is moving, amen, is with apostle in here. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that God is using him as a pioneer. Sometimes God got to pull you away from everybody that's popular. You know, he talked about he preaching in Madison Square Garden, that sort of thing and stuff. And who would walk up to somebody and tell them, say that, you know, my time is up with you and I'm going all over the world. I'm going to London and places like that. Who going to say something? Somebody who God is using to tread a course where they're not going to just settle for what the church has been seeing in the past, that God is really trying to bring us back to the Bible. Back to where we're supposed to be as the people of God, seeing the signs, wonders, the miracles, the hand of God, and that sort of thing and stuff. And so our prayer life is the thing that's going to really, you know, have us on the right frequency. Praise God. All right. If we have any other agenda or passion for glamour, it's going to all fade away. It's going to fade away. You know why? Because I'm repeating myself. Because the entertainment and that sort of thing and stuff, it's not going to be fulfilling, because the only thing that's going to be fulfilling to us is when we begin to accomplish those things that God has called us to do. It don't make no difference. See, because when you're a dead person, you're not trying to be popular. When you're a dead person, all you want is to follow God and do what God has called you to do, no matter what nobody else is doing. You're not trying to follow the trend. That's sometimes when you got to paddle uphill. You understand what I'm saying? When everybody else is flowing, going with a certain flow, you got to be paddling uphill, because you're going where God has called you to go to. Praise God. Hallelujah. So our choosing to move ahead will open up new territories for God to impact the regions around us. Characteristic number two. Moved under intense pressure to set the pace. Now, these breakthrough believers have the ability to move under intense pressure, allowing God to fashion their character and raise the standard for the succeeding generation to follow. So there's a whole lot of folk that really always taking the role of least resistance. But let me tell you something. The people that God is raising up now, they're going to be able to, when the pressure is on, they're going to be able to go right on through it. You understand what I'm saying? And see, that is what God is building now through these breakthrough believers. And it's not going to be no giving up. It's not going to be no throwing in a towel. You understand what I'm saying? Praise God. Because what I go through is the thing that's going to begin to shape my character. Y'all with me? Watch this. I'm gonna show you something, man. You know, I remember, you know, coming up, you know, young in the ranks and that kind of thing. And, you know, and so you have a tendency, you know, when you see people going through stuff, you know, and, you know, you kind of mock it and make fun of it and that kind of thing and stuff. You with me? you know, oh, look at so-and-so, you know, they're going through this here and blah, 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 and running your mouth and that kind of thing and stuff. But when you start going through it, and you start going through things and God shaping you, all of a sudden you learn how to start praying for folks that are talking about it.
Right.
I'm telling you, y'all with me here? Praise the Lord. I mean, that character, your character, God, through the Bible talks about the furnace, fiery furnace of affliction. Talks about, you know, how gold is molded and that sort of thing and stuff. So there's a lot of times when we go through things, that's the thing that really shape us. I think that really shape our character. So now the pressure of persecution produce a better quality of men for the kingdom. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3 and 10. Let me see. 2 Timothy 3 and 10. 2 Timothy. I think that's where it is. All right. 2 Timothy 3 and 10. Second Timothy 3, let's see, verse 10. I'm looking at the Amplified right now. I'm going to look at it in the King James Version. Let me look at the King James. Okay, it says, verse 10 says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life. It's Apostle Paul talking to young Timothy. Purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, affliction, which came unto me at Iconium, at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecution, look what he said, I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Then look what he said in the 12th verse. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall do what? Shall suffer persecution. So that is for the child of God, that is a suffering that we go through, but the suffering is the persecution. You with me? And it really builds our character. Now, the prevailing mindset and overcoming spirit allows the breakthrough believers to rise above the sufferings. You see that? To rise above the suffering to advance the kingdom. Look at 1 Peter. Let's go to 1 Peter. Hallelujah. 1 Peter. I got to get it. 1 Peter. Mm. 1 Peter. Let me see. Okay. Now let me turn it to this Amplified Bible. Now watch this. It says, it talks about in verse 7, say, casting the whole of your care, all your anxiety, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. But then in verse 8 it says, be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind, be vigilant and cautious at all time, for that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Then it says, withstand him, be firm in faith. The apostle just finished saying, against the onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined, knowing that the same identical suffering, see that's the word suffering in there? Are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christians throughout the world. Then he hauls off and say this. And after that you have suffered a little while, the God of grace, who imparts all blessings and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory in Christ Jesus, look here, will himself complete and make you what you ought to be, establish and ground you securely and strengthen and settle you. Praise the Lord. So So the scripture that said talks about how, you know, we that's something that we're going to suffer. And so and there's no getting around it. There is no getting around as a child of God. There's no getting around it. There's some things that we're going to suffer. That's some persecution that we're going to suffer. Now, when it comes down to, you know, some people say, you know, well, you know, they got the sickness and disease, say, well, I'm suffering, you know, for Christ's sake. That's not God. That's not the Lord. They're not talking about no sickness and disease. They're not talking about that. Talking about, amen, we're going to, as it relates to this gospel, we're going to suffer. That's going to be some persecution. People, right now, I mean, okay, let me show you something. My daughter was telling me, you know, on her job, she was telling me that this guy walked up to her, you know, in her office and saw her and her husband picture on the desk and asked him, you know, were they pastors and stuff. She said, no. She said, well, what church you go to? He said, well, you know, we told him to go to our church. And so the guy said, uh-huh. And so she said, what you mean by that? He said, oh, no, nothing. He don't know he sees my daughter. And so then he said, well, what you finna say? He said, oh, that church there. He said, I don't know. He said, that pastor there, he don't do nothing but follow Dr. Thompson everywhere. And so he don't even worry about his own vision. All he doing is worrying about building Dr. Thompson's vision. All he worrying about, he carries people down there. So he ought to just shut his church down and just go ahead and let all the people just join down in Dr. Thompson's church. It don't make no sense. And so he said, hold on, give me a minute. I'll be right back. So he left, and the guy heard him over on the other side. Guy say, what you talking about that church? He said, yeah, I was telling them about that preacher that's over there. He say, that's our daddy. Praise the Lord. See, you know, sometimes they just open their mouth too, you know what I'm saying? But the thing about it is, watch this. If you following somebody and folk are not talking about you, then you're not really following. You're not really following. So my daughter said when they went to the cafeteria and stuff, he just walked with his head down. He wouldn't even look at it. He just, you know what I'm saying? But the thing about it is, a lot of folk, when people start talking like that, then they'll start making adjustments, trying to keep people from talking. No. Really, like I said, unless people are really talking, you really not doing what you're supposed to do. You really not. I don't care what they say. If you are not being talked about, you are not being persecuted. See, it can't shape character. You understand what I'm saying? So, see, there got to be some people that's going to rub you wrong. Because how you gonna learn how to walk in love unless you challenge? You know, you talk about, well, I love everybody. You know, the pastor just finished saying, faith, your faith won't even work without love. So that's persecuting, that things come, and you still have to walk in love regardless of it. All it does is cause you to mature and grow up. God said, now I can really use you because you have matured. You are not letting what people say affect you, because it may be one time when, you know, you ready to take it to the street. You know what I'm saying? But you come to a place where you mature, and only when you mature can God really use you. That's when the sons of God are really manifested. You understand what I'm saying? Through maturity. If we're not mature, we're not really sons of God. We're not gonna manifest as sons of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, so we must be trained to never fall back, but push forward despite hardship and pressures. Let me go to Psalms 55 for a minute. Psalms 55. Where is it? Psalms 55. Yeah. Psalms 55, verse 20. Let's see. It says in the 22nd verse, this is the Amplified Bible says, cast your burdens on the Lord, releasing the weight of it, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the constantly righteous to be moved, made to slip, fall, or fail. Praise God. So God's always going to have us. You with me? And then in Psalm 78, 9 and 10, it says the sons of Ephraim were archers, equipped with bows, yet they turned back in the days of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God and refused to walk in his laws. So the sons of Ephraim had a double portion blessing of the grace of God upon them. They were trained and skilled men of war, but chose to break covenant with God. When that, are y'all with me? See, when things get tough, you don't turn your back on God. You understand what I'm saying? You got to understand that God will never. God, listen to me. I don't care. I can tell by some things that I've really gone through. But the thing that I've gone through has only caused me to mature and grow. You with me? And so we have to be able to. When the pressures come, when the persecutions come, amen. When the time comes, when things are not the way we think they ought to be, it's not time to retreat. It's time to go forward. Breakthrough believers are not quitters. They do not allow the enemies to come through them to defeat Israel. They station themselves wisely so that they are always the strong link in the chain. Nehemiah 4 and 13. Then I stationed men in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, the exposed places. And I stationed the people in families with the sword, spears, and bows. Now, the most exposed places are guarded by the presence of the strongest men. So we must stand under the pressure to fight for the deliverance and the safety of others. Praise God. See, it's always got to be about others. You have to become selfless. You understand? I say we have to become selfless instead of being selfish. So God needs this company of fearless defenders of the kingdom. They defy hell and all that is against them in order to complete their mission. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then these mighty men arise. They arise the standards in the house of God. And the house of God will be raised. The next company of fellowship will walk into a higher order of kingdom living. See, we're supposed to be leaving a legacy for those who following us. Yes, you with me? If you leave earth, you die, and you don't leave a deposit in the earth where you affected somebody else and caused them to walk closer to God, then your living was in vain. It was in vain. You with me? Praise the Lord. See, that's why as a church of the living God, we have to be able to take the word, take the sword of the spirit and begin to speak that word daily on a daily basis. You with me? So that whatever is coming against us, we understand that the word is able to deliver us out of anything. But we understand that there's some times when there's something that we're going to go through. But the thing about it is we're coming out. Praise the Lord. I say we are definitely coming out. You with me? And so you have to know, you have to have the prevailing mentality. That's nothing, amen, that has come against me that I'm not going to be able to overcome. And it can't just be talk. It has to be a mindset that you have. You have to have this prevailing mindset. You have to have your spirit has to be charged with the word of God so that, like Apostle said, amen, that word become a part of you. And as that word become a part of you, you begin to speak it. Things begin to start happening. Praise God. And say, oh, there go a son of God. There go God's daughter. You with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I got another minute. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The third characteristic, they move without compromise to deliver the unadulterated truth of God. The breakthrough believers continued to teach and preach what they had heard the apostles in Jerusalem. Yes, sir. Let me tell y'all this in my closing. I may have said it to you before, but I'm gonna say it to you again. Those of you that you know that go to Word of Life, if y'all heard something this Sunday, whatever the apostle was preaching this Sunday, my church will be hearing it the next Sunday. Praise the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? And so, you know, people say, well, why in the world, you know, you are you're not preaching, you know, why you not seeking God for something? Watch this. I'm gonna help you with this. The Bible says that in I think it's Isaiah, was it Isaiah 61, where Isaiah talked about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And then you go over there in Luke 4 and 18, and you see the same thing. That was Jesus preaching Isaiah's sermon. So if Jesus could preach Isaiah's sermon, I can preach the apostle's sermon. You understand what I'm saying? Exactly what he's preaching. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. Because it's, and guess what? Guess what? It's not stale when it leave here and it make it to my church. Praise the Lord. It's still fresh. It's still fresh. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I am fresh out of time. Praise the Lord. So y'all finished studying that chapter. Praise the Lord. Amen.